Hello, I'm Dave Dino, and this is Champions of Justice. This is the program that takes you behind the scenes with those who make the laws and those who protect your rights through the rule of law. Your hosts are attorney Thomas Girardi and attorney Robert Finnerty. Tom Girardi is a founding partner of the law firm of Girardi & Keyes, known for passionate litigation of corporate giants on behalf of aggrieved individuals. He is a member of the California State Bar Trial Lawyer Hall of Fame, and is widely regarded by his peers as one of the nation's top trial lawyers. Joining him today is Robert Finnerty, a member of Girardi & Keyes, specializing in the areas of toxic torts, product liability, professional negligence, catastrophic personal injuries, and insurance bad faith. He has been chosen as a Los Angeles Magazine Southern California Super Lawyer in 2004, 5, 6, 7, and so on. They are champions of justice for the little guy. And each week we bring you this informative and entertaining hour, bringing clarity to the headline-generating legal challenges of the day. And boy, are we going to talk about the legalities of the day. Well, we have that chance anyway, because our guest is Justice Carlos Moreno. Carlos Moreno, born November 4, 1948, is a Mexican-American jurist who most recently has been confirmed to be the United States Ambassador to Belize. Following his retirement from the Supreme Court of California in 2011, Justice Moreno is currently of counsel with the California-based law firm Irell and Manella. When he appeared before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee last October, he said that helping the government of Belize strengthen its rule of law will be one of his top priorities. He said rule of law not only establishes equality and fairness under law, but it also promotes citizen security for Belizeans and our own citizens, and lays a stable foundation for much-needed economic development in Belize. Now, he also told the Senate, "I will strive to enhance our national security by helping Belize become a stronger, more secure, more prosperous partner for the United States." The United States is Belize's principal trading partner and major source of investment funds. He said, "I will seek to promote U.S. business interests and investment in Belize by advocating policies that enable free and fair trade, as well as improve the business climate and curb corruption." Carlos Moreno is the son of a Mexican immigrant mother who arrived in the country with few skills and no resources after the death of his grandfather. He grew up in a home where Spanish was the first language and where no family member had an education beyond high school. In a recent speech at the U.S. Davis School of Law, he told students, "I never in my wildest dreams thought that I could become one of the 7 judges on the highest court in the state. I want to emphasize to you the idea that no matter what your dreams may be, you can follow them." End quote. Carlos Moreno served on the Citizens Commission on Jail Violence, the year-long commission appointed by the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors that investigated the problems in the L.A. jail system and in the Sheriff's Department, and they issued 63 recommendations for reform. We have a lot to talk about. Tom?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Okay, Dave Dino. We've had this particular guest as a guest before.
It's nice to have him back.
On the other hand, he has 2 different capacities. Before, we had him as a Supreme Court justice. Now we have him as an ambassador.
Mr. Ambassador.
Isn't that cool? I mean, at night, Justice Marino, you must say to yourself, gosh darn it, I did pretty good.
Only in America, I think, for a kid from Chavez Ravine.
Wow.
To become a lawyer in the first place, and then to become a judge, and now my latest position as a United States ambassador. Really, I've said it before, never in my wildest dreams, and I'll say it again.
Mm. You know, Dave Dino, next weekend, Sean Anderson is going to be on the show, who talks about overcoming things. His book of a story about the pursuit of purpose, Amicus 101, mm-hmm. The Extra Mile, another one of his books, are giving encouragement to people that you can come here, and maybe under not great circumstances. He himself, I guess, had $300 in his pocket when he started life, and indeed overcome those things. So here you are. I suppose you probably didn't even speak English very well at the beginning.
That's correct.
And but, then, okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. But, looking at obstacles, I think I would characterize myself as just one who's always put his nose to the grindstone. So maybe I didn't have time to look up and realize there were obstacles. I just kept on moving, plugging away. And I think that's one avenue to success. I wish I could say that I had to overcome extreme poverty or major illness or major death in the family. But, you know, when I look back, although I came from a working class background, compared to some of the kids out there now, I think I had it, you know, fairly easy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling my brothers once, I said, you know, we were poor. They said, are you kidding me? We had brand new jeans. We had brand new cords for school. We had everything we wanted. I said, how many dresses did Mom have? Oh, says Bob. He said, she had three. She had the black one, the white one, and then that red one.
Yeah.
I said, I rest my case. These two people, everything they had, baby, went to us to get us to school, to the grades better be good, the encouragement and so forth, to everything, including getting to law school and so on.
And I think that's the key, really, to have that kind of structure, support from your family, support from teachers, and, of course, just having a lot of good luck. As I said, no major tragedies in your family that I was able to avoid. But I think that with the kinds of things Tom talks about, I think anybody in that situation can make it. So I'm a firm believer in the American dream in that respect. Now, I think it was a lot easier when Tom and I were growing up. I mean, I think the question of income disparity, the recession, the lack of opportunities even for college graduates, we've got a different picture now. But I feel very fortunate, but at the same time, I feel that I grew up in an era where hard work did pay off.
No question about it, but having a mom and dad in your corner, Dave Dino.
Mm-hmm.
So in the eighth grade at Visitation Grammar School, Ed Roski was on the team. We won the eighth grade championship of all the schools around.
Mm.
And then I went down to Loyola High School, and I went out for football, and they have all these bunch of kids running around. And lo and behold, after 3 days, I got cut.
Oh.
I came home to my mom, and I said, I got cut. I got cut from the football. She said, well, that isn't right. You guys did so well. Just, well, Mom, that's the way it is. About 4 or 5 days later, there's a notice on the bulletin board, Thomas Girardi, report and get your equipment. So, holy Toledo, I went down there, and yeah, here it is, and I got to play and everything.
Wow.
And it wasn't for years later that I found out what really happened.
Mom.
My mom went down there to that coach and said, are you kidding me? Look what you did. You don't know anything about football, blah, blah, blah. And that was Jane. You know, she was very, very protective.
It strikes me your mom may have given you a run for your money as being the best lawyer in the family.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. When I truly know what it's like to flunk the California bar exam, at least for a little while. I had a fellowship to NYU and to get a master's in law. The bar results came out in December, and I really did very well in school, and I assumed, obviously, it would be no problem. I got this call from my mom in December. Oh, my goodness, she says, you didn't make it. I said, this is unbelievable. Mom, you got to be kidding. No. The Los Angeles Examiner posted all the names of the kids who passed, and you're not on it. So I sat at the edge of the bed. I said, what do I do? Do I just leave NYU now and go back and so forth? About half an hour later, the registrar at Loyola called and said, Tom, just to let you know, you passed. I said, gosh, I said, my mom just called me. Oh, she says, well, I'm looking at it right here. Well, the Los Angeles Examiner only published the names of the kids from Los Angeles who passed. I now had a New York address, so I knew what it was like on that test for a while.
Wow.
But I'm sure my mom would have gone and taken it for me the second time.
You are listening to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty, and our guest today, Justice Carlos Moreno. I'm Dave Dino. Stick around. We have a lot more in store. As you listen to Talk Radio 790 KABC. License and registration. Please step out of the vehicle.
If you are facing a DUI charge, then you need to take action. Just because your breath or blood test says you're over the limit doesn't mean you can't fight the arrest and win. But you have to act fast, because 10 days after your DUI, the DMV will automatically suspend your license. Hi, I'm attorney Darren Cavanocchi, founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS. If you've been arrested for DUI and don't want to lose your license or go to jail, then you need to call 1-800-NO-CUFFS. At 1-800-NO-CUFFS, we can stop the license suspension and keep you out of jail. We've won thousands of cases, and our DMV win rate is nearly double the statewide average. So call 1-800-NO-CUFFS today. We've been keeping handcuffs off of good people for decades. How will you remember 1-800-NO-CUFFS? 1-800-NO-CUFFS.
Help your lawn combat the drought with Revive water-saving lawn treatments. Fight dry brown spots, heat stress, and parched-looking lawns caused by the drought, heat, and water rationing. Revive greens your lawn, slowly feeds your lawn, helps it survive with less water. Revive's powerful blend of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients saves water by reducing runoff and evaporation while moving fertilizer and water deep down to the roots where it counts. The results? Revive will give you greener grass with less water, a lush, dark green lawn without brown spots and thin, crispy, dry areas. Remember, saving water is saving money, and it's the right thing to do. Being new in town, we are not everywhere. Check our website, revive.com, for more information and store listings. Cope with the drought's challenges and save your lawn. Use Revive every few weeks for a greener, healthier lawn using less water. Revive, America's number one leading water-saving drought treatment.
Talk Radio, Los Angeles, 790 KABC.
We're back with more of Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty, and our guest, former California State Supreme Court Justice and now Ambassador to the country of Belize, Justice Carlos Moreno. For some folks who may be geographically challenged, where is Belize?
Now, he doesn't know yet. He doesn't go down for another couple of weeks.
This is a telling question.
Right, exactly.
Not only have I been to Belize, but I speak its predominant language. And you know what that is? It's English. Located in Central America, in sort of the crook of the elbow of Mexico and Guatemala and the Yucatan Peninsula. Very well known for its pristine beaches and the second longest reef in the world, second only to the Great Barrier Reef.
Wow.
Also famously known for its 900 Mayan archaeological sites, pyramids and so forth. So it's a country with a rich heritage, formerly known as the British Honduras, and hence the English language, and also English traditions in terms of what we're talking about here. The right to a jury trial, presumption of innocence, proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and so forth. So I think that, and a common law country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the mesh between our country and theirs, and my legal experience and theirs, I think will be a very fine fit.
Isn't that cool, though? How about you? And you know, there are a lot of advertisements we see now to vacation in Belize,
yes,
which we never saw before.
We'll expect to get more.
Yeah, and I intend to encourage that. Anything that we can all do to help the economy, and tourism is the largest revenue producer there. And Americans, about 1 million Americans visit every year, so there's a lot that we can contribute to help their economy.
No kidding, huh?
Yes.
So you actually knew the place before you got the call to say, we want you to be the ambassador.
Yes, back in 2011, I went actually with a lawyers group on a on a mandatory legal education program.
How about that? See, I mean, but you were the only guy on the mandatory legal that ended up being an ambassador.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, this whole issue, I quoted you earlier about talking about wanting to encourage and reinforce this whole idea of the rule of law.
Yes.
It strikes me that you go to this country in this post of being an ambassador with more to offer them, perhaps, than others who are appointed to such posts. Others are government officials, quite often for life. And are very good at the decorum of government and that sort of thing. But you actually bring some real skills to them that they can use and profit from.
I think so. I mean, the question of rule of law is a major issue in many countries, but particularly in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the United States can do quite a bit to provide resources and such to their legal system, whether it's in the form of the training of law enforcement, the police officers, the mm-hmm. military, lawyers and judges, and how to handle complicated legal matters such as money laundering and trafficking in persons. All of these things are issues that really as a nation we are concerned about, because those types of acts and conduct really have an impact on our own national borders, and not to mention as a transshipment point for narcotics and such. So I think given the experience I've had in the trial courts here in Los Angeles and at the federal level and at the appellate level, I think there's quite a bit that I can do in terms of all of these rule of law issues I've mentioned.
Bob?
So you're saying this isn't going to be an easy job.
No, I don't think no matter where one is assigned as an ambassador, whether it's as a political appointee, as I am, or as a career appointment, it's a full-time job. In fact, the State Department considers that you are always on duty 24/7. As long as you're in the country, you're serving as the ambassador.
And it sounds like there's going to be a great deal for you to do down there.
Yes, and I'll have to, you know, pick and choose and as to where I'm going to have the most impact. My wife, who is part of the team, for example, is a retired art professor and as well as a master scuba diver, but she intends to focus on arts education and so forth in reaching out to the Belizean people. So I think we'll make quite a team, and we intend to do this full-time for the duration of the term.
From what I can see, there's never been a time where you haven't been trying to help with education and help people.
I think so. And, you know, I was asked by Judge Victor Chavez at lunch today, he says, what motivated you to become a lawyer? Because I'd never met a lawyer until I was maybe 19, 20 years old. And I said, you know, there's no tradition in the family, but I've always felt that I was in a position to deal better and perhaps more forcefully with the law, whether it dealt with insurance claims or translating documents and helping my family and relatives and so forth. So I think that helping spirit is what motivates most people to become lawyers and not just the money. And, of course, your firm, which seeks to affect justice for people who've been harmed in some way. I mean, that's the model, I think, for why lawyers do become lawyers.
I think I just heard the best graduation speech I've ever heard for lawyers to be.
Yeah, your son having just gotten the diploma last Sunday.
Yes, yes.
And I think there are challenges ahead of young people going into the law,
mm-hmm.
Your Honor. You know, there are a lot of lawyers out there, and the schools keep graduating more and so forth, and it's a situation that lawyers rarely retire at age 65. You know, I mean, number one, I don't think you know how to do it till you're about 63 and a half. But,
still working on that.
So I think there are challenges there, but I think like everything, those that are very good are going to do well no matter what.
Yes, yes. I mean, had I gone to business school, I could have been somebody, you know. That was my first choice. Instead, I ended up going to law school and ended up on the California Supreme Court.
We have a former California State Supreme Court justice saying, well, I could have been somebody.
Do you miss the Supreme Court?
I do. In some
now,
ways...
He said that. He said that in such a fashion.
I was fortunate enough, and maybe you would agree with me, to be on the court in a period, in an era under Chief Justice Ron George, where we handled some pretty significant cases, you know, like gay marriage and parole revocation rules, the arbitration line of cases that I had a hand in, a number of cases involving fertility treatment and custody issues over children of same-sex couples. I mean, those cases were really, I think, landmark cases. We made a good law, I think. So it was a good time. Now, not every case that the court considers is that kind of case. There's a lot of other cases that simply have to be resolved because there's a conflict. But I think I was on the court at the right time. I think I advanced the law in some good ways. But I think also it was time for me to have other adventures. And frankly, this is one of the adventures that I always thought of doing. In terms of excitement day to day, I really hand it to the trial lawyers and the trial judges, because they get to see, you know, they're down at the... in the trenches, so to speak, and it's in some ways that's more dynamic and more exciting than being on an appellate court.
I think you members of the Supreme Court got along pretty good too.
Yes.
You know, people would dissent on various issues and so forth, but it was always a certain sweetness about the dissent and so forth. It wasn't calling the majority a bunch of idiots to do it and so forth that you see every once in a while.
Right. No, it was a very, very collegial court, and in part because it was a very collaborative court, that ideas were shared throughout the course of the development of a case. And I think in the end, that resulted in decisions that were more uniform in nature and gave better guidance to the litigants and lawyers and the trial judges down in the trenches.
Ever think that perhaps the way that all of you worked together, even though you did have differing opinions, ever think that that could actually, in your wildest dreams, be transferred to politicians?
I think I'll take the fifth on that. The Senate just confirmed me, but I don't want to say anything bad about that, but it's just amazing that, and it's unfortunate that there are these wide schisms in ideology that seem to drive everything else in the system.
That is the voice of our guest, former California State Supreme Court Justice and now Ambassador to Belize, Justice Carlos Marino. Your hosts are Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty. I'm Dave Dino. We'll be back with more in just a moment here at Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What if your phone wasn't just a phone? With Ardio, it isn't.
It's a musical fire hose ready to pump your ears full of music.
It's a musical bloodhound tracking down that one perfect station based on your favorite artist or genre. Go get it, boy. With Ardio, your phone isn't just a phone. Download the free Ardio app right now and get your music any way you want for free until you say otherwise. That's R-D-I-O. Ardio.
It's Tempur-Pedic Week at all 13 Orange County mattress locations. Stop in today and experience the Tempur Cloud and the Tempur Contour mattress collections, all in stock and ready for delivery today. Get pre-approved for 0% APR financing for up to 12 months on approved credit online at ocmattress.com.
Now at the Home Depot, get the Kidde Remote Link Monitor for just $99. It works with your existing smoke or carbon monoxide alarms. Nothing more to buy, no more monthly fees. If an alarm triggers anywhere in your house, it alerts you through your smartphone or tablet, wherever you are. It's as simple and easy and affordable as that. Let's do this. The Kidde Remote Link Monitor, only $99 and only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Hey, everybody. It is Michael D. Catherwood. Some of you call me Psycho Mike. And on the next Dr. Drew Midday Live, Dr. Drew and I are going to dissect the shooting in Lafayette, the unfolding story about Hulk Hogan, plus it's Man School Monday. That means we're going to do a lot of manly man stuff and be all manly. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls the whole time because that's what we do right here on Dr. Drew Midday Live, only on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Back with more of Champions of Justice. Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty are your hosts, and our guest is the former California State Supreme Court Justice and now Ambassador to Belize, Justice Carlos Moreno. Tom?
Okay, Justice. You mentioned Ron George, Chief Justice Ron George, and he just had a book published, which we all have. It was very, very interesting. And the fact of the matter is, you would expect a little different decisions on some cases, from the Chief Justice. At a time when same-sex marriage was simply taboo, he felt the constitutionality of the issue was such that it should be permitted. And Dave Dino, this was at a time when they did polls, are you in favor of same-sex marriage? 92.65% said no, and 3% said yes, and 2% said I don't know. And obviously that's changed dramatically. If anything, the numbers have turned around. But for this person to have taken, along with the other members of the court, this huge step was really interesting. And this is the same Chief Justice who argued in favor as a lawyer for the death penalty. So in other words, you have this person on one, a somewhat of a conservative view of things and somewhat liberal view of things, but primarily the intellectual idea here of following what should be out there, irrespective if it's liberal or conservative, was kind of a mark of your court, don't you think?
Well, I totally agree. And I think the way you've characterized the Chief's leadership on not only administratively on the court, but also as a thinker and opinion writer on the court is right on the mark. And his 4-3 majority in the marriage cases in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, was only the second court in the country following Massachusetts to find same-sex marriage as a constitutional right. And just today I read that Pennsylvania was the most recent case state to sanction that. So now we have 19 states and the District of Columbia. Again, never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that 6 years later we'd,
six
see,
years later, right.
we'd see this virtual tsunami of decisions, mostly, I think, prompted by the U.S. Supreme Court in the military benefits case really is leading to the fact that wherever these laws are being challenged across the country, they're virtually compelled to find that equal is equal and not separate.
Talking about that for a moment, we don't get a chance to talk about this very often. It is one thing to look at an issue under the law, compared to looking at the issue through our feelings and our morals.
Mm-hmm.
What is the challenge when you know that there are certain feelings and there are certain morals attached to whatever the issue is, but you have to look at it under the law? What's the challenge for you there?
Well, the challenge, I think, is to bring a lot of discipline to your work and your task as a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've once said that when someone asked about my personal feelings, I've said, well, you know, in reality, that's irrelevant.
Mm.
And whether it's a sentencing matter or something like what we're talking about, gender equality or marriage equality, you're compelled to follow the law. And, you know, maybe not all of the judges who are finding state bans against same-sex marriage to be unconstitutional. Maybe personally they might have different feelings about it, but I think they're compelled by what's known as the doctrine of stare decisis and how they read higher law to come to that conclusion. So, you know, it may seem a bit disingenuous that when a judge says that, well, my personal feelings are irrelevant, but the law is the law. Now, sometimes the law is generous or at least a bit giving in allowing some discretion for a judge. And I'm thinking there specifically in criminal cases, sentencing decisions where, for the most part, unless it's a mandatory minimum type of sentence, judges are often given some discretion. And I think there used to be more discretion in the past. I think judges' hands are more tied now. So therefore, whether they feel certain drugs should be decriminalized mm-hmm. is a different story from what they have to do in a case where they're actually sentencing someone who's been convicted.
And yet people will vilify a judge
yes.
if and when that judge makes a decision based on the rule of law
right.
that goes against their feelings, their wishes, their morals.
Yes. And the other thing that that happens, Dave, is that reaches down to lawyers as well. I mean, the politicians
mm-hmm.
will often criticize a lawyer who's represented a client who might not be the nicest guy in the world. Child molester, murderer. They've worked for legal aid all their life. So some politicians will say, well, I'm not going to really approve that lawyer as a judge because of positions they've taken as advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we cherish the notion, going back to John Adams, that no matter how controversial or how much of a villain a defendant may be, they're entitled to the best representation. And we shouldn't punish the lawyer years later when they're seeking a higher position. But unfortunately, that's kind of the reality. So I don't think lawyers should be vilified for cases they've handled as advocates.
For those who may not know the reference to John Adams, he defended the British soldiers in the so-called Boston Massacre, and he was able to get his people acquitted.
Yes.
And that was very contrary, obviously.
You got to be kidding me. I mean, it was,
no, to the public and his own views.
Right, of course. You know, it's a wonderful profession, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know anything about being an ambassador, and I don't know anything about being a judge, except, you know, pro tem once in a while on things that, you know, aren't too important. But I tell you this, what a great job it is to be a lawyer.
Yes.
There's nothing like it. You know, first of all, Dave Dino, being a lawyer, a civil lawyer, because that's the only thing I know anything about, one week you're learning how to build a dam that won't collapse. The next week you're learning how to do a particular surgical situation so you don't harm the patient. You know, the next thing you know, you can go to a cocktail party and talk about just about anything.
Yeah.
Every other profession is very narrow in its scope. The orthopedic surgeon knows all about bad ankles, but that's all he knows about. He doesn't really have this broad spectrum of, you know, that you get exposed to in the legal community. We're taking discovery in the Dodger case that comes up pretty soon, and, you know, here we're learning all about security and so forth. We have this case in Carson, which was the ground was totally contaminated, and we're learning everything there is to know about benzene and mm-hmm. how it affects people and so forth. It's a wonderful job.
And some of that translates into being a trial judge because it's a real education. I mean, I referred earlier to how dynamic it is to be a trial judge, a trial lawyer, and exactly for the reasons that Thomas has stated, you do become sort of a jack of all trades in a sense. But the central part of that is being an ethical, good trial lawyer. I think if you've got that foundation, then you can try virtually any type of case.
But enough about this lawyer-judge
stuff. Yes.
What's the population of Belize?
350,000 in an area the size of Massachusetts. So it's a very widespread country with not a lot of people. It's probably the size of the city of Santa Ana, the entire country.
And how long does it take to get there?
If you go direct, and there one airline does have a direct flight once a week, it's about 5 hours. Otherwise, with one stop, it's about 7 hours through Dallas or Miami.
And what are your duties going to be time-wise with respect to the amount of time you spend in Belize and the amount of time you spend in the U.S.?
Well, virtually all my time will be in the country of Belize in some form or fashion. I mean, there'll be meetings and so forth back in D.C. and maybe other Latin American countries, but it's a full-time assignment in the country of Belize, and I'll be, you know, representing the United States in all aspects of any activity there, whether it's educational, military, cultural, so forth. The United States gives a significant amount of aid, and I'm there really to not only monitor that aid, but to make sure that our people there are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be a little change of pace for you, huh?
A little bit change of pace, but I think that it's something that that I enjoy. I think even as an appellate justice, I was always very interested in engaging with people, whether through the form of public speaking, being on commissions, and so forth. So I think that the skill set that I'll bring to this that I have will translate very well. Yes, there'll be a lot of receptions and parties that we, diplomatic soirees that we normally think of, but I think the main thing is to keep my eye on the ball and make sure that the U.S. is properly represented in that country.
Bob?
So what do you think you're going to do with all of your free time down there? No, you just told us you don't have anything to do down there.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll have much free time. But in the free time that I do have, I'll explore and advance my interest in Mayan archaeological sites. I'll accompany my wife on some of her scuba diving trips, and there are plenty. There are 200 to 300 small islands off the coast of Belize that are fantastic. I'll do a bit of snorkeling. There's also cave tubing, underground rivers, and zip lining. I don't know if I'll do that, but
Dave and I were wondering where you apply for a job like this.
It's you don't apply. You're picked.
I guess we're out of that.
I guess we're out. Yeah.
You know, I was with another ambassador at Loyola Law School. The person delivering the commencement address was a Loyola Law graduate, who is now the ambassador to Korea.
Okay.
Sung Kim. And it was very articulate and very encouraging to the young people there of how to make something of themselves and so forth. So it's very seldom, Dave Dino, that one comes across two ambassadors mm-hmm. in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ms. Marino, what does she think about this?
Well, she's absolutely thrilled. She's a retired college art professor.
Oh.
She taught for about 15 years and is a tremendous artist and philosopher and painter, I mean, photographer, philosopher, let's keep that in too. But she's really looking forward to, you know, taking a lot of pictures and scuba diving. And I think her focus will be on arts education since she brings that skill set to the position.
I think all wives have to be philosophers.
Yes.
Now, do you go to ambassador school or anything like that?
I'm proud to say that I'm a graduate of the the Foreign Service Institute in Washington, D.C. The only course I have to take remaining is a class on security, mandatory for all State Department employees going abroad, and I'll be taking that on June 2nd and June 3rd in a couple of weeks. But I've been through the ethics training, the protocol training, sort of how to understand the bureaucracy of the State Department and other international organizations and so forth. So it's a very comprehensive course taught by, for the most part, former ambassadors.
Is that right?
Yes, and I've got my security clearance. I'll be getting another higher-level security clearance in the next couple of weeks.
And we're going to pause one last time as you listen to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty and our very special guest, Justice Carlos Marino, former California State Supreme Court Justice, and now Ambassador to Belize. I'm Dave Dino. We'll be back with even more right here at Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Business owners, did you know that summer is a great time to hire the best people? With your competitors on vacation, there's less competition for quality candidates. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find them. And when you're short-staffed, there's no time to deal with the dozens of different job sites. Until now. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites with a single click. Just post once, and within 24 hours, watch your candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Plus, be instantly matched to candidates from over 4 million resumes. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now for free. Try ZipRecruiter and get your perfect candidate this summer before they go to somebody else. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Back with our final portion of today's Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty. And our guest, the former California State Supreme Court Justice and now Ambassador to Belize, Justice Carlos Marino. What do you think you learned in those courses that perhaps goes beyond the job of being an ambassador, that perhaps could apply to any of us in our various chosen fields?
That's an interesting question. One of the things that I had to think about was that there are kind of strict rules about which countries or representatives you can speak to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Venezuela or Cuba, we don't recognize Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy is, I'll talk to anybody.
You're talking to us.
I'm talking to you guys. But there's certain countries, just a small handful, that the U.S. doesn't recognize. I have to be particularly, I won't say cautious, but I'll just say circumspect.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say, because I have to be aware that everything I say might be construed in a certain way that may not be in accordance with State Department policy. So,
because you're speaking for the country.
I'm speaking for the
country.
You're
not just speaking for the ambassador or Carlos. Right.
Exactly.
You're speaking for the whole country.
So in some respects, it's like being a judge, not being able to comment on pending cases and so forth. So I think I'll be okay, but just in terms of my personality and sharing a glass of wine with someone, I might discover, well, we don't recognize this country. How do I handle that? I think I'll do okay, but
yeah.
It's kind of that idea is foreign to me.
We've been talking a lot about Belize, but, of course, one of your titles is former California State Supreme Court Justice, and we don't get this opportunity very often to get some insight into the highest court in our state. It is the education of this is lacking in our schools these days. We don't have good courses in pursuit of the subject of civics as we used to in our schools, particularly in high school. I'm curious about the process, because we in the public only see sort of the very, very surface of this highest court in the state. We see the decisions, and we may agree or not agree or just kind of say, it doesn't affect us, we think. But what goes into the court making its decisions? There's a lot of work for you as justices, isn't there?
A tremendous amount of work. Fortunately, with the exception of death penalty cases, there are lower court decisions and orders, whether it's from the trial court or from the intermediate appellate court. So when a case comes up on a petition for review to the court, there's a lot there for the judges to look at and decide in the first instance whether or not review should even be granted.
Mm-hmm.
Review is only granted in civil cases in about 2% of the cases.
Wow.
So that screening process absorbs a lot of the court's resources. The court is not a court of error correction. It's a court of precedent setting. So the court will take cases where there's a conflict, and the conflict needs to be resolved by the Supreme Court, and that's really the primary function of the court. So with the exception of death penalty cases, which come directly from the trial court to the Supreme Court, that's the way the system operates. And there's a lot of work that's gone on below. There's a lot of work that goes on at the staff level before the court even decides to take the case.
How much do you know about a particular case that comes before you before the lawyers stand in front of you to argue the case?
Everything.
Now, you're kind of minimizing the effect of the lawyers arguing.
Yeah. I'm in so much trouble here.
We have that the underlying record, first of all. Then we have the briefs filed by the litigants themselves. And then in many significant cases, we have briefs filed by amicus curiae, interest groups, insurance organizations, civil rights organizations that say, you know, this case is very important. It extends beyond these litigants. It's going to have ramifications for a whole group of people or a whole industry. They'll chime in. And only after there's been a lot of research by all of these entities, including the individual staffs of each of the justices, when a draft opinion is drafted and the judges then begin to exchange their ideas, and only then will the matter then be set for oral argument. So I don't think that you can be better prepared as a judge than when the case comes up for final argument, because you have this whole building block underneath you. You have your own tentative thoughts. And then I'm a firm believer in having oral argument, because you may have missed something. You may have missed how important a particular issue is, and you want to hear from the lawyers themselves as to why a particular issue is significant. If one side says it isn't, well, you ask the other side, you know, they say this, give me, how do you respond to that? And just to hear someone articulate that, I think, is very, very helpful.
And, Dave Dino, the function of this highest court isn't the function of a jury trial. So even if a particular justice thinks that maybe the jury should have decided this differently, they don't invade that area of fact very much. I mean, there are exceptions, of course. But the whole idea is that they're in charge of giving guidance to trial judges on all their cases to follow the law. And a trial judge has to follow what an appellate court has done and what a Supreme Court has done. And one of the fertile areas that the Supreme Court moves into cases, if where this particular appellate court has decided the issue this way, this appellate court has decided it this way. This is a real mess for a trial judge. Am I supposed to follow A over here or B over here?
Mm.
And those are the types of cases, I think, that the Supreme Court grabs onto because they have to settle the territory.
How much do you rely as an attorney upon his decisions?
Oh, like a wild dog, you know, there's no question about it. And not necessarily with his decisions, but with certain decisions that have come down, we haven't been exactly exuberant over how they decided a particular issue. But it's therefore up to the lawyers to fashion your case so that you maybe can show an exception to what they've put over here that really, you know, applies over here.
Mm.
Very interesting stuff. But I think, and I bet you agree with me, you're not going to agree on the radio, but I bet you like the trial court better than the Supreme Court.
I was going to say that earlier, and I don't know if you could tell from the way I was talking about the
you were.
How dynamic the trial court was, and you just never knew what might happen even in the most the smallest insignificant case. But it was always fascinating, and it was like watching the human drama play out in front of you. So in that sense, I think the trial court was more exciting and more interesting.
Bob, we want to give you a chance to get in here before the end of our time together.
I appreciate that. And you know what? I just got to tell you, this is really a pleasure for me.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you got to be so proud of yourself. I mean, look what you've done. And then for years, decades to come, people are going to be reading about how you thought this decision should play out. It's really impressive stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. I mentioned my son is in law school, and he's called me a few times with his study group in the background. And the dad, we're talking about your case and X situation.
Oh, no.
What is the, you know, what's the, and the advice I give him as a sort of a teacher is, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. It's how you analyze the issues, and many times it's for the jury to decide. And that's the fascinating thing about the law is a lot of times things are kind of in a gray area, and it's for the lawyers to really work through that thicket and persuade a jury or a judge as to what the correct point of view is.
Now then, you are going to come back to Los Angeles, I'm
yes.
sure, during this time when you're ambassador. Huh?
Yes, I'll be back for your Christmas party.
All right, that'd be terrific. I appreciate that. And then hopefully we'll get you back on, if you have a little bit of time yes. to spare with us, to say, okay, this is what it's like being an ambassador.
That would be terrific. I'd love to do that.
Isn't that terrific? Justice Marino, I mean, it's so nice to have you. The spirit you have, the friendship you have, the great, nice qualities you have, to see someone with those qualities and the thing being so darn successful is really terrific. Justice, I'm very proud to know you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Dave. Thank you, Bob.
You're
our pleasure.
You have been listening to Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi and Bob Finnerty, and our guest today, former California State Supreme Court Justice, now Ambassador to the country of Belize, Justice Carlos Marino. Our producer is Naylene Belyayev. I'm Dave Dino. And a final thought. We've talked a lot about Justice Marino's life. We've talked about his early years. We've talked about his childhood. We've talked about his accomplishments. And we've talked about a lot, and we've heard a lot, about his passion for the law. Well, here's the final thought. It comes from Aristotle. And as usual, it is sometimes the simplest that is the most profound. Aristotle said this: "It is in justice that the ordering of society is centered." Our guest today has devoted his life to that very thing. As such, he is a champion of justice. Thank you for joining us.
The preceding program was a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KABC does not necessarily endorse or support.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is Judge Leo Trott. I preside in Courtroom 790. We put the news and newsmakers on trial. You provide your testimony, and together we render our verdict. Courtroom 790, the first and only interactive radio court show in America. Weekdays 10 to noon, right after Doug and T-Ray on Talk Radio 790 KABC.